Good evening. Let's call to order the Human Relations Commission meeting of Thursday, November 13, 2025 at 8:704. Great. Yeah. Okay. The city does not tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sanibel prides itself on the rich diversity of our residents. We are committed to creating a culture of belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. This Human Relations Commission meeting is considered a limited public forum, which means the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. A speaker comments must be limited to the agenda item being considered by the commission for consent calendar or public hearing items. A speaker comments during oral communication must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, generally referred to as within the commission, such as matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are not related to an agenda item, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of a disagreement with the content of their speech. Location and online meeting details are available on the Human Relations Commission's agenda. Use the show caption button to view captions on Zoom. Comments on matters not on the agenda or presentation items must be submitted prior to the time I call the items for oral communication. Comments on the agenda items must be submitted prior to the time I close the public hearing on the item agenda. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to the time period set for the public comments for the agenda item, which will be strictly enforced. Guidelines are posted on the city's website and on the Human Relations Commission meeting agenda. Please join me in the salute to the flag. You have to remember that. Okay. Sorry. Recording officer, may we please have the roll call?
Commissioner Zolkowski.
Here.
Commissioner Terry.
Present.
Commissioner Landa.
Present.
Commissioner Camacho. Vice Chair Sakia.
Present.
Chair Zapata.
Present.
We have five commissioners present with Commissioner Camacho absent.
Moving on to our next item, 25-1029, Alzheimer's Association Organization Mission and Services Overview. Is there a staff report?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Daniela Fowler. I'm here as representation of the Alzheimer's Association as the community outreach specialist. So I just want to share some of the impact of Alzheimer's and dementia in our community. So this is some of the numbers we have as of today. So over 7 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's, and the numbers every day changes depending on the communities. So for example, with Hispanic communities, it's 1.5, they are more at risk of getting Alzheimer's. Black populations is the same. Asian population also, it differs. So it's a big number. With this disease, nearly 12 million Americans provide unpaid care for people with Alzheimer's or other dementia. So this means it's a very expensive disease for the country, for the communities, and in general for everybody, right? Uh, I want you to watch this video, please. So when people ask what does the Alzheimer's Association do, is we do a lot. I know there is no cure, there is not a cure just yet, but we do the research, right? Maybe I'm not a researcher just yet, or who knows, maybe in the future, maybe in another life, who knows. But what I do is pretty much just go out there in the community. In my case, with my Hispanic community, and go out and do the awareness. Right? What we can do to change things. There are things we can and we cannot change. I cannot change that I'm 30 years old, but I can change my lifestyle, right? I cannot change that Alzheimer's is maybe on one side of my family, but I can change how I don't know, the lifestyle I have. I can exercise, I can eat better, and I can show my community how to do those things. And things that can change their lifestyle, it's what can help not only me but the communities in general. So in that sense, I'm also helping my people and the people in general, and at the end of the day, I'm helping the country. So when we're talking about dementia, dementia is the umbrella term for loss of memory and other thinking abilities, severe enough to interfere with daily life. Dementia, it's the umbrella term, and Alzheimer's is one of those dementia, right? And the disease of Alzheimer's is just one, but it's the most common dementia that there is right now. Just to set an example, in a room of 100 people with dementia, at least 70 will have Alzheimer's. The other 30 people will have the other kind of dementias, like we can see on the screen. So what is Alzheimer's? Alzheimer's is a brain disease that causes problems with memory, thinking, and behavior. Symptoms eventually grow severe enough to interfere with daily tasks. So it's not only about the person diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it's about the family as well, right? Because usually the caregiver is part of the family. They have to quit their jobs, they have to, you know, stay with the person at home and change completely their family lives, their everything, to be with that person. In the early stage, memory loss is mild, but as the disease progresses, individuals will need around-the-clock care, and at the end of the day, the disease is ultimately fatal. Alzheimer's is a progressive disease where symptoms gradually worsen over a number of years. Usually people think that Alzheimer's comes with the age, and yes, age is a very big thing in this disease. However, there are many factors we can't start doing since we're young, since the young age. For example, start exercising and start eating healthier, start just taking care of ourselves and teaching that to the youth, you know, like going to schools, going to universities, colleges, things like that, and just teaching in general. Like again, I'm in my 30s, but it doesn't mean I cannot prevent. Or maybe, like the way I say it is, if you have a hurricane alert, you try to prevent the destruction of your home, right? The hurricane can come, but it depends on how you cover your house, if you protect it well or not, right? So again, populations at higher risk, Black Americans are about twice as likely as white Americans to have Alzheimer's or another dementia. Hispanic Americans are 1.5 times as likely to have the disease as white Americans, and almost 2/3 of Americans living with Alzheimer's are women. These are the 10 warning signs of Alzheimer's: memory loss that disrupts, sorry, daily life, challenges in planning or solving problems, difficulty completing familiar tasks, confusion with time or place, trouble understanding visual images or spatial relationships, new problem with words or speaking or writing, misplacing things and losing the ability to retrace the steps, decreased or poor judgment, withdrawal from work or social activities, changes in mood and personality. So it doesn't mean like the person has to show the 10 signs for you to take them to the doctor. With one or two is enough of a warning for you to take care. The importance of early detection: pay attention to any changes in your memory, thinking behavior that you notice in yourself or someone else. If you see changes that are new or unusual, usually, and believe, I mean, it's not hard to believe, but they usually, when the grandparents live at home with us, the first to notice are the grandkids that something is wrong. When they usually say, like, "Granddad already told me that story 3 times today." And the adults don't pay attention. Listen to those little signs, because there might be something there. You know, it's like when the person starts losing their keys every time. Those are little signs. We have until now, we have some treatments for Alzheimer's. Again, like there is no cure, but we do have some new treatments that are available that slow the disease progression for those in the earliest stages. There are drug and non-drugs options are available that might help treat symptoms such as memory loss and confusion, and some of them also help with the depression and, you know, like all the aggressive part that comes with the illness, with the disease, sorry. Everyone experiences Alzheimer's differently. Treatments work in varying degrees and are not effective for everyone. So of course, these are still medications that are, I mean, there's not a cure yet, right? So again, they're different for everybody, but the FDA have approved them, so they're still working. What we recommend at the Alzheimer's Association is to take charge of your brain health. Like, there are several risk factors for cognitive decline and dementia, like age, that we can control, right? As I was saying before. But there are things that we can improve, like our lifestyles, right? Things that we can also control is these kind of things. We have this US Pointer brain health recipe, as we call it, and is that if we combine these four things, nutrition, if we monitor our health, we have some exercise and cognitive exercise, if we keep those four things in mind since early age, we might be able to maybe not prevent, but help our mental health or brain health, sorry. So this is what we have, the 10 healthy habits for your brain. They are not new tips. right? That those are the typical things that you hear when you go to the doctor, when you're growing up, from your teachers, from everybody. But so there is one thing that not everybody tells you, and it's what is good for your heart is also good for your brain. And so if your heart is working in good conditions, also is your brain. So keep that in mind. So if it's working for also your diabetes, it's also working for your brain. So if it's working for your heart, it's also working for your brain. So at the end of the day, everything is connected, right? These are the ways we at the Alzheimer's Association can help you. We have a 24/7 helpline. No matter the day, no matter the time, we are always there. And we offer programs in different languages. As I was saying, in my case, I offer them in English and Spanish, but we do have people that offer them in Chinese, Vietnamese, and other more languages. In different groups, you know, we have support lines. We have, for people that have already lost someone with Alzheimer's, we have the grieving groups. We have many things that we can help at the helpline. We also offer free education and support, and we also are trying to ask people to join the trial match, even if they are healthy, because we need healthy brains to compare, right? So that's a good way to join the fight for Alzheimer's. We also have a couple events a year, like the Walk to End Alzheimer's. That was during September, October, and I think are still going in a few parts of the Bay Area. So we go all around the country, everywhere. We just go around the park. We're hoping next year we'll be here in Sunnyvale. It's just one of the biggest events, like fundraiser events we have, and it's really beautiful because it's the same families that just join. Even if the family member has passed away, they still come every year. And you know, it's like in memory of, and they help and they come and they join and volunteer, and it's just a beautiful event. We also have the Do What You Love to End Alzheimer's, and it's just as it says, do what you love. Is whatever you like to do, just make it a fundraising event. So do something you love and turn it into a fundraiser to end Alzheimer's and other dementia. Just to set an example that comes to mind right now, a friend is having her birthday this weekend, her birthday party, quote unquote. What she's doing is a paint and sip at her house. She said, no gifts. Whatever you were planning to give me, just donated to the association. I mean, $20, $50 that you are planning to give to that person in something that probably she's not going to use, right? The association probably will use it in a better way. So this is what we have. So join us. Everything helps. Every community needs us. I think this is not about race. This is not about political issues. This is not about anything like that. This is about human race. This is about our brains. So I think we all have brains. We all need to take care of them. So we just need your help. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the presentation. Like, it was amazing, all the information that it was on the presentation. I just want to share that my first job here, it was at a senior facility with people with dementia. So I'm really familiar with this information, and I want to say thank you for bringing all this data and information and bringing awareness about, you know, how it's living with people with dementia and how we can prevent it too. Of
course.
Does anyone has a question?
Not a question, but I did want to say thank you. I actually have two people close to me that are living with dementia or Alzheimer's specifically, and have seen how challenging it can be on the family to care for the individual. So one question I had was, what services does the association have here in Sunnyvale, I know you said you're trying to expand, that help family members and the caregivers, because I
Okay, so we do give information, first of all, and the most important one, I think, because first of all, when you receive the diagnosis as a family member, you're lost, right? So first of all, the helpline is there to help you anytime. Second is we also go to different places. Again, information, everything is for free. And that's, I think I forgot to mention that very important part, all the support and all the things we do are for free. We also do the research. So that's when the fundraiser, you know, like the money we get, it goes to research. And we also do this, the programs. So we try to go to schools, to homes, you know, to help not only caregivers, but we also have these programs that they, sorry, I forgot the word right now. the state in this case, you know, like the county of Santa Clara, the county of San Mateo, they offer some respite for caregivers. So that's some people just don't know about them. So it's like, okay, we help you fill out the forms. We help you, you know, like help you with that. We give them that information because again, like it's not only about the person diagnosed, it's about their families. They need to take care of themselves as well. So yeah, it's showing them, it's also showing them that there is nothing to be ashamed of because sadly it's a disease that a lot of people are kind of embarrassed by. You know, like we don't talk about that. If we don't talk about that, it's not here. So we try to, no, yes, we do have to talk about that because it is happening and it's happening. Like, I think we all know someone, sadly, with the disease, even if it's not in our family, maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend or someone that has been affected by Alzheimer's or dementia. Did I answer your question?
Yes, thank you so much.
I also would like to thank you. This presentation comes at a perfect time in my life for some of the things that my family's experiencing. And we have some challenges coming up because of it. And I'm actually going to be calling the helpline because we have a unique situation that we don't know what to do. So thank you.
I'm so sorry to hear that. But at the same time, I'm glad it came at the right time.
Buenas noches, muchísimas gracias. Me disculpo por llegar tarde, no estuve en el inicio, pero con la información que alcancé a oír, como todos mis compañeros, muchas gracias por este valioso aporte. Yo creo que sí es muy importante porque lo vemos algo para personas de la tercera edad, pero ya incluso en la edad media inician algunas situaciones como usted las nombraba. Hay personas que ya en la edad de 45, 50 años ya están sufriendo algunas características de esta situación. Y la verdad, muchísimas gracias por expandirnos un poco más sobre esta situación de la sociedad.
I would like to also thank you so much for bringing this information. And also, I'm also really happy that the fact that this information is available for us. And I was wondering, what would be the best way for us to reach you? For like in my example, I work with the community, the school system. I have a lot of families that I work with. And if I have a family member with me, I know that we can communicate to the helpline, but is there a specific center that I can direct them to close by that you recommend me to do so?
Sorry, I don't know the address by heart.
No worries.
But yeah, so the main office, my office is it's here in San Jose. We're there from Monday to Friday. It's Northern California and Northern Nevada, or chapter. It's in 2290 North First Street, Suite 212. But you can also always go to the website. We have chapters all around the country. And again, our chapter itself is Northern California and Northern Nevada, but we have, it doesn't mean that it's only San Jose. You know, like, it means like the main office is here. However, we have small offices in San Francisco, in Richmond, in Santa Cruz, in, you know, like in different areas. So you can always call the helpline. You can always go to the website, and by your zip code, you can find the closest to you, and there'll be always someone ready to help you.
Thank you so much for the information.
Of course.
And I guess I'll be the last person to thank you also for that presentation. My dad has Alzheimer's, so it's something that we've been living with for a while, and it is very hard on the family. I did actually not know about Trial Match, so I'm actually going to go look that up, and I will sign up as a healthy person if I am eligible to do that. So thank you.
I'm glad to hear that second part. I'm so sorry about your dad, but we're here for you as well. And also, I don't know if you knew that you can also get tested now. You know,
yeah,
you can.
I wasn't sure if I want to do. I think I will.
Okay. I am going to share my own experience. I did get tested. I do carry the gene. It is hard to you know, to know that. However, it's time for me to do something. As I was saying in the very beginning of the presentation, it's time for me to, I cannot change my genetics, but I can change my lifestyle. You know, so again, hurricane might hit, but I'm protecting my house. So at the end of the day, it depends how I protect my house, how the hurricane hits. So it's that, or so that's my advice, my personal advice. I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm just saying that was my choice, right? So
I think it makes a lot of sense. I've just been a little bit of a coward, but you are inspiring me.
It's not easy.
I have just a quick question.
Yeah, of
like
course.
Regarding about what Ninuka just said. So I don't know if you provide training to work with people with dementia, or, you know, to help our families who have dementia. I'm telling you that because, you know, I remember I work as an enrichment leader. So I have to do like exercises with them, you know, to help them, you know, to help their brain work. So, you know, I learned a lot, you know, from that training. And I remember that every time that my mom asked me the same question three times, I'm like, Mom, we have to play Sudoku, or Mom, we have to do this exercise, you know, because like after working with people who are suffering dementia, you kind of like realize that it's something really impactful, not just for them, but also for the family. So I don't know if you provide training, because I think it would be really helpful.
We do provide some kind of training, for example, for volunteers, mm-hmm. kind of thing. We do ask for volunteers to join us to help us, since our work is free, to help us with that, you know, out in the communities. So our work is that, you know, like we train them, we teach them like what to do, what to say, or just how to go out in the community. First that. And second, we do have different programs according mm-hmm. to the community, according to the person that needs, you know, like it's different for me, like this, mm-hmm. this, people I'm presenting right now than at a home, mm-hmm. right? It is the same information, but it's different the way I present. It's different with caregivers. It's different. It's, again, it's the same information, but it's different, as you were saying. So if I'm giving them the same information to caregivers, I'll try to, you know, like focus all the information more on them. You know, it's like, you need to take care of yourself. This is not only about your loved one or the person you're taking care of. This is about you as well. If you're not okay, you won't be able to be okay to take care of that person in a good way, right? So it depends. So yes, we do try to do those. You know, like it depends. Right now we're also offering programs focusing about the holidays, you know, because for some people, holidays can be hard. You know, it's not what it used to be for them or something like that. So we just give them, and some people are, how can I say that? They don't want to talk about it. So, you know, it's like, oh, it's happy season. I don't want to talk about Alzheimer's. And it's like, it's okay. May I give you some tips just in case? You know, it's like, okay, I can give you some advice. Maybe here at work, here is a public place. You don't know if a person is going to have a crisis here. How do you react to that? You don't know, right? So it's like, okay, how do you react to that? Or sadly, you share your experiences. Like, how do you react at home? You know, so it's those kind of things that we do try our best. We don't have like a manual thing because every case is different, but we try for the most part to tell you how to react. Maybe it's more, okay, like, maybe their brain is slowly like turning off, but yours isn't. You know, it's more about you controlling yourself than trying to control the other person. So I don't know if I answered your question.
Pretty well. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you, Daniela. My question for you, and again, thank you so much for this information. I definitely think that touches a nerve with the community, with all communities, and it is important to have information such as this, even, you know, if you're not experiencing a situation such as this. My question is regarding the testing age. Is there an age? Is there a threshold? Is just you willing to get tested?
You can start by... So the thing is that I'm talking from my experience, right? I started because I suffer migraines. So, you know, there was something there that pushed me to just keep asking. Now that some of my family members are going through, you know, like their old age, now they're diagnosed and all of that. That gave me more questions. So I started going through CT scans and things like that. Then I started working at the Alzheimer's Association. So I was like, aha, I can get tested. So yes, you can get tested no matter the age. Mm-hmm. I will say, I tested like a year ago. I got tested like a year ago. I'll say the earlier the better, but it doesn't mean, if you carry the gene is differently than if you, for some other causes, develop the disease. You know, like, for example, usually rugby players in their old years, they can suffer of Alzheimer's because all the brain injuries, because all the times they hit their heads, that can cause like any type of dementia or Alzheimer's.
And are there any classes like yoga or some sort of, or maybe referrals that are either provided or maybe people are directed to take, in the sense that they can, maybe sometimes activity also helps in cases such as this, or I don't know.
Well, since I am not a doctor, I can, you know, like we always recommend first go to your doctor, because I usually say, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, of course, but I cannot say, I don't know how your knees are, I cannot go. I mean, if you suffer of your knees, I cannot tell you go play basketball, right? But the idea is some cardio. So we usually say like go dancing. It doesn't have to be a super heat, like very sweaty thing. No, it's just like 30 minutes of cardio. Like we say something like, I usually joke when I go to the homes, it's like walk faster, like when a neighbor has a chisme, when they have a, like a like they have the gossip. It's like, okay, you walk faster, you need to know about it. It's like that moves your heart. So it is that kind of thing. So and it's whatever makes your heart kind of moves a little faster. Is that it? And we will say 30 minutes at least daily. So who doesn't like to dance? It doesn't mean we have to be professionals, but I mean, I'm Colombian. I don't dance like Shakira, but I try to move. So, right? But those kind of things, like even when I'm cleaning my house, like I move. That's cardio. Who says it's not? Right? So those kind of things is what we can do to help ourselves.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I have one last question.
Yeah, of
Do
course.
you know of any efforts from an urban planning perspective, whether it's across the country or, oh my gosh, even here in California, to make more dementia-friendly cities? Because like I've heard of a concept of dementia villages, but I don't know if we have any in the US actually. My dad's in the Philippines, so we don't have that concept there. And I think of how small people's lives with Alzheimer's get because people are not always very tolerant of the repetition. They can get lost if they ever go out by themselves. And I wonder if we know that our population will get older, we should be preparing for how we can make our cities friendlier so people can age in place.
I honestly don't know exactly, but I do know here, again, like there are some places, some homes or some adult day centers that do take care of, like of adults when the caregivers have to go to the doctor or just keep working or just, I mean, life goes on. So, and they do their activities is, I usually compare that in a friendly way as a parents know when it's time to leave their kids at kindergarten, right? So this is when kids know when it's time to leave parents at kindergarten without being treated as kids. There are places there, I know there are places like Catholic Charities, there are like different places like that that they do activities, they do amazing work, and yeah, they're there to help as well. So that's what I can say.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Of course.
Any other question? Okay. My last thing is I invite you to join us on our social media. We usually have also webinars, like all the time in different languages, for people to watch us from different parts as well. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you.
Recording officers, just to let you know that the Commissioner Camacho is here.
Can you state for the record what time she arrived?
He arrived at 7:08.
Thank you.
Thank you. Teamwork. Okay. This is now the public's opportunity to address the Commission on topics not listed on tonight's agenda. This section is limited to 15 minutes and might be extended or continued after the public hearings and general business section of the meeting. Individuals may only speak once during oral communications. This Human Relations Commission meeting is a limited public forum, and the commission can regulate the time, place, and manners of speech. Speaker comments during oral communication must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, which is known as the commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are outside the commission's subject matter jurisdiction, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. This allows the commission to conduct its business in a reasonably efficient manner and protects the rights of other speakers. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of disagreement with the content of their speech. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer. Raise your digital hand now or dial 9 on the telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Recording officer, do we have any in-person participants wishing to speak on oral communication?
No, Chair, we do not.
Recording officer, do we have any remote participant wishing to speak on oral communication?
No, Chair, we do not.
I will go ahead and close oral communication. 1 second. I will go ahead and open public comment on the consent calendar items. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer. Raise your digital hand now or dial 9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. A speaker will have 3 minutes to speak. Recording officer, do we have any in-person participants wishing to speak on the consent calendar item?
No, Chair, we do not.
Recording officer, do we have any remote participant wishing to speak on a consent calendar item?
No, Chair, we do not.
I will close public comments. I will not ask for a motion from my colleagues on the consent calendar.
I would like to put forward the motion to approve the Human Relations Commission meeting minutes of the October 9th of 2025.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Is there a discussion or advocacy on the motion? Okay. There is not a motion. Recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Chair Zapata?
Yes.
Vice Chair Sakia?
Yes.
Commissioner Camacho?
Yes.
Commissioner Landa?
Yes.
Commissioner Terry?
Yes.
Commissioner Zolkowski?
Yes. Yes.
The motion carries 6-0.
Moving on to our next item, 25-0850, approved 2026 annual work plan. Is there a staff report?
Thank you, Chair. The staff report really relates to the work plan that it was presented in the agenda and that is being now projected. There was a conversation discussion last meeting, and I would like to present to you the work plan that had where we had made some changes based on the conversation. So wanted to bring it to your attention, and then their recommendation will be to approve it, and it will be submitted to City Council after your approval. Also, let me know if there are any questions.
I will now ask for a question from my colleagues. Do we have any question? I will go ahead and open the public hearing on this specific item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer. Raise your digital hand now or dial 9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speaker will have 3 minutes to speak. Recording officer, do we have any in-person participants wishing to speak on this item?
No, Chair, we do not.
Do we have any participant online?
No, Chair, we do not.
I will close the public hearing. I will not ask for a discussion or motion from my colleagues about this item.
If there are any comments or any questions for me, otherwise you can just submit a motion for approval.
Okay. Now I will ask my, do we have any discussion here? No? Okay, now I'll ask one of my colleagues to make a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the annual work plan.
Is there a second?
I second that motion.
Recording officer, please conduct a vote.
Commissioner Zolkowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Terry?
Yes.
Commissioner Landa?
Yes.
Commissioner Camacho?
Yes.
Vice Chair Sakia?
Yes.
Chair Zapata?
Yes.
Motion carries 6-0.
Moving on to our next item, 25-1030, Community Needs Assessment Update. Is there a staff report?
Yes, Chair, there is a staff report. So with the community needs assessment, we have, as I shared previously, we are meeting twice a month. And basically we're in the beginning stages. Not a lot has changed since our last meeting, but I wanted just to let you know that at this point of the process, we are making sure that our equity profile or our community profile has been kind of like discussed with all the resources that they need to have from our perspective. And obviously when they're with their knowledge and they actually have been, they're subcontracting another consulting firm to go into the informational interviews, but the representative survey, which is a second part of the community equity assessment. And for that, we are in conversations about the sample size. Since we don't have a final decision on the sample size, I will just wait until we finalize that part. Probably by the next time we meet in December, we'll have that finalized. But the consulting firm that is helping us with that is Evitaros. Sorry, I always say Evaritus for some reason, but it's Evitaros. And they are the ones that are helping us with the data collection methodology. And once I have that, it will be added to the scope of work. Another part of that has been part of the conversation is the informational interviews. So particular representatives from the community will be contacted. And again, because I don't have a definite list yet, definitely by December, our December meeting, we'll have that and you will find out who those representatives are. Rest assured that people who have come to the commission to present, like Leadership Sunnyvale, or not Leadership Sunnyvale, but Livable Sunnyvale, will be contacted people from the Sanibel Community Services as well, and people who are has a stake in the process will be part of this. And we have not yet, we're working on the informational interview questionnaire. So we're like, we're submitting and making sure that those questions are not only supported or edited by folks that are working here in the city, but also having a perspective from people from the community too. So that's basically where we are right now. I know it doesn't sound too exciting because we're still kind of like setting up the process. There is, as I shared before, we extended it to 12 months. So we are still in the process of finalizing that part with the contract. So, you know, stuff that has to do with the procurement. In the next few weeks, we're going to have a little bit more of definition that I'll be able to share with you in December. So let me know if you have any questions right now.
Fernand, I'm just curious the name. It's Evitarus, right? Evitarus is the subcontractor. Is that what you said?
Yeah, let me repeat. Evitarus, yes.
Okay, thanks. I just looked them up.
Does anyone has a question?
No. What percent of the budget, Fernanda, are they taking to do the subcon work on the data analysis or the strategy? So are they setting up the data strategy or are they doing the full analysis, the quantitative side?
I don't know a percentage because I will have to do the, although I do have the budget here, but is one of those additional services that they provided or they represented in their contract, and that we thought it was a good, definitely having that data will help us determine or take the pulse on the community in a way that is much more extensive that if we just focus on, or we just have the focus groups or on the community conversations, right? So we took into consideration the fact that initially we thought that maybe a qualitative survey or a qualitative assessment was better, but the more we thought about it, we thought that it was important also to have that size, a larger size. So I think we are looking at 400 responses at this point, and their responsibility is to have, doesn't matter how many contact they have, but they will have that number, definite number of responses. So to answer your question, I think if I can remember from the budget that we have, is not more than 10%, definitely not more than 10%, but it was in addition to the MIG primary services.
So their role is to determine if the sample size is representative, if the 400 is representative. Did I understand that right?
Yeah, so let me just go back a little bit. And first of all, is they will be working on, or their objective will be to identify what are the community needs, what are the priorities and perspectives from a representative sample of Sunnyvale. Right now, we are discussing the size of that sample size and specifically if it's going to be a representative of all the residents of Sunnyvale or if it's going to be folks that are registered voters, right, for example. And so
is that you?
Hmm?
Who's determining that? Like if we are looking at all the whole population or just registered voters?
Yeah. And
who's determining?
We are.
The city.
Yes.
Okay.
The city in consultation with the consultants. And we are you know, we are weighing the options really well, because the increase in representative sample is considerably more expensive than if we go with registered voters sample, because it's easier, just something that you can actually take from, and I'm not very familiar how they will get that data, but it's representative from the census and from the registration, like registered voters lists. So in that sense, we are looking at how much more we can increase those represent those community conversations and those focus groups, as well as the let me see, the informational interviews that can balance the fact that we are looking at not a smaller sample size, because they are representative from the conversations that we have had. We will cover those through those other interviews, which will be more, there will be a more qualitative tone in that sense.
So Fernanda, are they making sure that as we're gathering the data, they're looking at it to make sure that it is representative as we get that? Because mm-hmm. pretend, let's say we have a bin of balls here. There's red, yellow, green, blue. They're not all in the same number, yeah. right? If we get 400 balls out of that bag, but we happen to pull 400 red balls out of that bag, it is actually not representative of the bin itself. That's what I want to make sure, because I think sometimes what happens with quantitative analysis is we're using a skewed sample already to begin with. And if we're going to be paying more for this, I want to make sure we're getting our money's worth.
Oh, absolutely.
In this
yeah.
sense. So that means throughout the gathering, they need to be continually testing to see, is this going to be the right population? Like, is this representative of what is in the bin?
Yeah. No. And I understand your concern. And I can assure you that that's why we are taking our time. And the conversations have been going on for two meetings already.
Oh, I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying, let's make sure that that is happening.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah.
That, mm-hmm. When they're doing that kind of analysis.
We are looking at different, and again, I'm not the expert on this, so I probably am sort of misrepresenting all this stuff that we have been meetings with MIG, not with them. So they are kind of like our intermediaries. But the assurance that we have from the consultants is that this type of surveys have been done in larger cities, like, for example, LA, in specific themes that were looking at populations that perhaps have not been represented in either previous surveys or through the American community survey or other mediums that either didn't have the language access part mm-hmm. or that they didn't have the contacts in those communities. So that's why we're saying we are going to be connecting to, you know, the Sunnyvale Community Services. We're going to be connecting with different organizations that are part of Sunnyvale. We're also looking at the school districts. We're also looking at faith-based organizations. So those folks that perhaps are not going to be asked directly in the qualitatives in the quantitative survey, they will be, their views will make sure that they are gathered in the with the other mediums,
with the qualitative
mm-hmm.
But again, I will push again to make sure the data we get back is representative of the true population mm-hmm. that we have, and that we're not getting responses that are self-selected in that are, again, not representative of the actual bin.
Yeah,
that's what I would want to make sure. Just keep asking them that, like, how are you going to make sure this is a representative sample? and to analyze that more than just we're going to try to reach as many people as we
Yeah,
can.
no, and I'll make sure that, or we'll make sure that in the next few meetings, once we have decide, you know, a much more firmer version of what exactly is that, if we want to go with one or the other, we'll have those answers for you.
Then Fernanda asked him also, like, what's their backup plan if after they do this gathering, we find that it is not representative? What's the plan to go back? And are we going to do another wave of surveys and another wave of qualitative gathering? So when we do this at work, like, we always make sure we have in our backup plan, we might have to do three more rounds of surveys to make sure that we capture. So they're a good plan would have that. So let's just make sure that they have that if at the end of the first gathering, if it's not representative, they have that baked into their plan to make sure that the final data set that they're analyzing is representative. And that might mean having to go back and gather more data. And then the other thing that I would ask them too is to still record either the non-response, or meaning people chose not to respond or we weren't able to reach them, because that's data also for us. Like, why weren't we able to reach these people? Why, what's our hypothesis as to why certain individuals didn't want to respond to our survey? Non-response is a response.
Yeah, and the other part of that is that we are thinking about the climate that we're living on right now. And so that has to be or is being part of the conversations that we have. So we're exploring where are the safest spaces where people will feel more comfortable sharing information, and maybe general survey will not the best use of our money just because people are not going to feel comfortable sharing information with just anyone. So even if we go with like a general sample, we might be putting a lot of money in something that we're not going to get a good return. So the idea is to really count with those organizations that people already have built trust with, and then create those channels. And so we have, so in our team, basically we have the director of LRS, which is the Library and Recreation Services, which touches the community at large, right? Through the library services, but also through all recreation activities and programs. And so they do have a good sense of what are the points of contact or the organ or the places where this data can be collected. And we also have the deputy city manager who has a really good sense of also our small business community, our, you know, business community at large, as well as years of experience of working in different circles in the city. So I think that in that sense, we're taking care. And that's why I feel that it is important to think about where we are at this point and how we want to make sure that if we are asking these questions, and the questions are very much related to things that, for example, how do you define your community? What are your hopes and aspirations for yourself and your family? So we're definitely are going to be building a sense of familiarity and trust, but at the same time, understand that we might not have that trust just because of the moments that we're living right now.
Which is fair. I think it'll have a chilling effect on the results,
Yeah.
unfortunately. So we'll have to just take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the best time to do any survey, I will say, especially in this, the type of questions that we're going to be asking about, you know, do you feel that you belong to the community? What has been your personal experience interacting with city employees, including the police, for example, or using our different services such as park, libraries, city streets? So anyway, so I know that they have lots of experience doing stuff like this. So but I will keep in mind all the questions that you have. Thank you.
I have one last, I
Yeah, go
promise.
ahead.
Do you know if their inquiry strategy is focused just on capturing the current state, like what are people's experiences now, or are they also looking at potential drivers of that?
I think both.
Okay, great. Because I'm actually more interested in the latter, because that's something we can actually change.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's definitely both.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone else have a question? Nope. Okay. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on this specific item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer. Raise your digital hand now or dial 9 on the telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call all members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speaker will have 3 minutes to speak. Recording officer, do we have any in-person participants wishing to speak on this item?
No, Chair, we do not.
Recording officer, do we have any participants online?
No, Chair, we do not.
Okay, I will close the public hearing. Moving on to our next item, 25-1041, discussion and possible recommendation of one priority project idea to the City Council. Is there a staff report?
Yes, Chair, there is a report. And give me 1 second. Okay, thank you, Selena. So, this point, the discussion of a possible recommendation of one priority project idea to the City Council has to do with, and I want to pull this. Well, actually, what I'm going to do is do the presentation first and then refer to an email that it was sent to all boards and commissions from the city manager. But let's go. Because that email is sort of like a summary of this presentation, but I wanted to go over this. So basically, the council approved a new council priority projects process, and that's policy 7326. And in that policy, what the council decided is a more structured method for identifying, prioritizing, and implementing new city council or new council priority projects. This is what we got to know as a study issues. The study issues process, we're changing that to the council priority projects. The council modified that the board and commission input process, that was the policy that basically determines how boards and commissions actually work. So it's policy 7219. And the idea with this is that the council priority projects guide city resources toward achieving council's strategic goals. So next. I think you were probably familiar because there were some invitations to participate and to give your feedback to council. So fairly quickly, this process started back in November last year. And usually what, or actually this is what's gonna happen, right? This is each board and commission's by majority vote for one idea for city council consideration. So this is happening next year because this year is already in November. And I think only two commissions, yours and I don't remember which other commission, are going through this process because our October meeting and September meeting were early enough. But and because the directions from the City Council to basically move on from the study issues process to what we have now, which is the council priority projects, give that kind of like that period in between, this interregnum that allowed you to go and be part of this process this year. But not all the commissions are doing this year. I think it's yours, your, and another one. So anyway, so the process moving forward is that each November, the board or commission might just vote for one idea for council consideration. There is not going to be a form, and I'll go into that. And there is not going to be a form or a staff report or a staff not report, but a staff decision, I guess, or recommendation. I'm sorry. So then between November and January, council members will submit up to 3 council priority projects. Proposals. In February, the council will hold a council meeting where the council priority projects workshop will happen. And so here is where the discussions will arise, and that will be where people from the public can come and comment. Between March and April, the staff, depending on that council priority projects workshop, the staff will prepare, and that's when the staff will come in and prepare a 3 to 5 page summaries and a complete analysis of that idea. In May, there will be a conversation, a discussion, which is under the budget workshop, where the city manager will recommend the council priority projects within the funding and staff capacity. So that is in better alignment with what the council prioritizes, plus the conversations that happen during that workshop with the city council, with the city manager. In June, during the budget adoption process, the council will approve the final council priority projects for that year. And then in the periods of July, November, the staff will focus on implementing current year council priority projects. So next. So what happened before, during this year, the consultant that advised the council on this whole process actually presented to council that out of all the study issues that were presented by boards and commissions, almost none of them were adopted by the council. So there was a lot of time and effort that it was dedicated by the staff, by the city staff, and also by the boards and commissions in the proposal process, but also for the staff to either do a recommendation and then do a report on that study issue. So to streamline, to use our resources better, that's why it was decided that this is the new format. So this is the annual invitation for boards and commissions input, which is happening in November, and in this case, it's just happening for you. And so there is, so in November, each fall, so I will say August through November, each boards and commissions will ask you, right, if you want to agendize a discussion to suggest potential ideas. The participation in this process is optional, so not all boards and commissions have to do this. If participating, the discussion must be scheduled no later than November meeting. So in this case, the deadline is extended to December. And then all boards and commissions are encouraged to participate in the first year. Okay, next. So the format of the discussion, which is what we're going to be doing today, is a verbal discussion only. There are not going to be papers coming from you or from me or staff reports, and nothing is going to be prepared in advance. My role in that case will be basically to answer any questions, clarify if there is something that is going on already, if aligns with city projects, and provide information as needed in the event that I don't have that information, provide it at a following meeting, a future meeting. Next. Then after that discussion happens, this commission, by majority vote, will forward one idea to council for consideration, right? This has to be on the scope of the commission, in this case, the scope of the HRC. The staff liaison, myself, will transmit the selected idea to the city manager's office. If a commission, if a board of commission forwards an idea, it is not guaranteed to move forward to the February workshop. Okay. Any ideas that are provided are added to a running list of potential ideas, and they will be posted on the city website. And then three council members might incorporate ideas from the boards and commissions into their three proposals. So the council members will have their own ideas, but they might champion an idea that is coming from the commission, right, from the HRC. Next. Is that it? Okay. Yes. Yeah, so basically what I just said in a PowerPoint presentation, it is detailed on the website. It also is kind of like put it down as how it works, how do you propose a project and stuff like that, and how you can submit your ideas. So council members can submit their ideas, boards and commissions in the way that I just explained, and then the public as well. So let's say, and I will explain that, let's say that we, which we're going to be doing next, we vote for the one idea that, and we have two that came out from the conversations of the proposals from the commissioners, that we vote on one, right? That idea is going to be passed by me, the staff liaison, to the city manager. And then that idea could or could not pass to be part of the February discussion. However, I just want to add that you as individual council commissioners, you can actually go and advocate for those at that meeting. You can do that as an individual. And you can also have conversations with the city council members and explain in more detail why you think that is important, and probably and ask for their support so they can adopt it as one of their three priorities. That will be, I think, the strategy that I see for the HRC to adopt, if that's something that you want to do. And then what I want to go over now, if you have that email, if not, it's part of the agenda. This is kind of like that summary that I was talking to you about. And so what I just want to highlight is the third paragraph. So again, the annual invitation for input is each fall, your staff liaison will ask whether your board or commission will like to agendize a discussion to suggest potential ideas for future council priority projects. Again, participation is optional. If the body chooses to participate, the discussion must be scheduled no later than your November meeting. And again, for the transition of this year, the deadline will be extended to December. However, since we do have two potential projects or two, well, they were called study issues, but now they have the council priority projects named. And they are, the priority project ideas are the addressing the surge of Jew hatred in Sunnyvale, a call for a community center study on safety and inclusion, amend the policy manual to include religious observances as excused absences. But because we are doing this as, you know, as this presentation of any ideas, I want to allow you to have, if we can actually break for maybe 5 minutes, to open the opportunity for you to propose any idea if you did not submit anything in the, you know, in this process that we had before, you can actually do so today. So let's break for 5 minutes so I can, you can actually take a few minutes just to think. And we'll add that here. Also, you will have the opportunity to do that in the December meeting if that's the case, but only because we have these priority project ideas prior. I feel that we could go without doing that in December, but it's open to you too. So putting this idea there, so let's take a 5 minute break and just think of anything that you would like to add to this list. And then after that, we'll go in and vote.
If we have an idea,
Okay, we're returning to the meeting at 8:32.
With all commissioners
present. With all commissioners present.
Okay, thank you, Chair. All right, so I think what we can do today, since this is a very surgery situation, is we have these two ideas that came prior to through the old process. If there is a new idea or there are new ideas that want to be added to this list, but also we want to be mindful of the opportunity that others had to explain, have more data, more support to basically present it to the commissioners for a vote. I think that what we could do and what is fair and equitable will be to restate the ones that we have, but also allow to any ideas to be presented. And then in our December meeting, since we have the permission from the city manager and the direction that we can still vote in December, we'll do the discussion and the vote in the meeting in December.
Sounds good. Everybody agree?
Yeah. Okay. So you already know what the two ideas proposed are. And so I want to allow any commissioners to you know, share what ideas you have, and we'll add them to the agenda for next meeting in December.
Very good question.
And it doesn't have to be a super defined idea. Basically, is this is where I'm going with this, the what I want to do and this propose this. And so next meeting, we have a more, you know, 5 minutes or so where you can actually explain what are you thinking. Yeah, go ahead.
Very just good question, but we can still submit ideas during, you know, through the whole month, right? Like email, sending you an email or something.
You can bring another idea in December.
Oh, not in December. Like, I don't know if you can agendize it for next meeting. Like,
so if you give me, you send another idea. Yeah, I think so, right? Or is it only here in this meeting?
I would say I think we have to have a discussion at this meeting, because we're not doing any more study issues list.
Right, that's true.
And that's what you just saw was the study issue list.
Yeah, I think this is a very great area. So I would say if you have any inkling that you want to have something, is better to say now than wait for December. Okay.
And how about tomorrow? I have a great idea. I'm just kidding.
Too bad. You have to wait until next year.
Okay. Anyone wants to share any idea?
This is a very preliminary idea, but I would suggest possibly a rental registry for the city. I know there are issues when it comes to renters as far as equity. And I would be happy to speak more to the specifics of what that might look like at the next meeting, but agendizing that for the December
meeting. And the title will be a rental
registry. So essentially, landlords have to register traditional, I think it's 12-month rental properties with the city to monitor, and this is not 100% accurate, I'm sure, but to kind of monitor how they are increasing prices in rent year over year, which I think could tie into issues of equity and inclusion throughout the city. Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, happy to, I'm going to obviously do more research, but.
That sounds good.
I know Sunnyvale has a short-term registry, but they don't have a traditional one.
Okay. I'm trying to think if it falls under the HRC, and for issues of equity, I completely see the point.
It might be more housing related.
It might. That's why I'm like a little. But let's add it to from the perspective of equity.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mi propuesta es si se puede incluir la idea que el consejo genere un apoyo a...
Sorry. I think it's translating both in Spanish.
Yeah, I think because your mic is...
Oh. Yeah. Que se incluya un apoyo para realizar eventos culturales de carácter regionales, digámoslo. O sea, por ejemplo, no necesariamente que respalde el evento en su totalidad, pero que la ciudad pudiera compartir escenarios o utensilios o quizás también algún apoyo económico para que se pudieran realizar eventos culturales, no desde cero que la comunidad lo quiera hacer, sino que pues ya cuenten con empezar con algo respaldado por la ciudad. Hago esta referencia porque pues aquí la comunidad asiática, la comunidad hindú, el año pasado tuvimos un esfuerzo de la comunidad hispana para realizar el iberoamericano, pero pues hacerlo desde cero es un poco difícil y más pues ahorita como está la situación, ¿sí? Pero si hubiese un respaldo a partir de la ciudad en donde diera herramientas o nos facilitaran herramientas, pues de quizás todas las comunidades se animarían a tener este tipo de vínculos y encuentros que desarrollan las relaciones humanas, también la economía, ¿sí? Porque se hacen participaciones de emprendimiento, de encuentros culturales. Entonces, propongo que si se puede generar un apoyo en eventos culturales. No necesariamente el de allá o el de acá, sino que sea pues para algo que sea instituido a nivel un grupo grande, sino pues todo aquel que quiera decir yo quiero hacer un evento, sino que sea así tipo como los asiáticos, los iberoamericanos, los hindús, y que sean poblaciones representativas aquí en la ciudad.
Thank you, Commissioner Camacho. I think that for that proposal, I will say a recommendation for, as you said at the beginning, cultural events or support, financial support for cultural events that represent the nature of the of Sunnyvale or the communities of Sunnyvale, and everybody kind of like understood that that is not going to be just for small events, but something similar to Diwali or the Ibero-American event from last year. Okay. I just want to add that we do have the community grants, and I understand that they're limited as well, but I also see the benefit of having the support from the city as a group that is starting out, like it was the example from last year, which there was a big pull from the community and it was a big struggle as well. So I can completely see that. So we'll add that as well.
So I just want to clarify, because I double checked my notes. And so we're actually not doing a list, right? We only have these two because we were in that gray period of transitioning from study issues to now the council priority. And so if we do have a discussion in December, your ideas wouldn't be added to a list. You would just come prepared and discuss.
Right.
But that being said, we already have now four ideas, and you could only submit one.
Yeah, I think they understand. So we just have to go with one. But yeah, it's good that we have two more. Yeah, go ahead. Maybe five.
No. So maybe. Is it possible to, you know, this whole process is about efficiency and trying to make, you know, things move quicker, right? And get the right things up to where they need to be. Is it possible to do rank choice voting? And you're already shaking your head. Nah, why not? I think it, at least on our level, and even at higher levels, it's a proven concept. And you're looking at me weird.
No, we're not talking about ranked choice voting for elections or for this commission. Oh.
I was confused when you were like, we've voted on one and then there's nothing, and then we get to vote on the second one. I don't know what to do. I can give you my ranking of my choices, and I don't know.
Yeah, don't feel bad. I'm sorry. We were not looking bad at you, because I think this is a very new process as well for us. And it's also in a gray area, because this is something that only two commissions are doing. And I don't want to put our council member on the spot, but I'm going to do that. because the way I understood from the city clerk was basically there is going to be, in our case, because we have two already issues that, two study issues that were presented. And so we just were going with the process as, you know, effective in 2026, but it's happening now. So my understanding was that basically the vote was going to happen in only those two, but it was the discussion that if any ideas were going to search, you know, come up in this meeting, they could also be voted on. But the way I understood was basically we look at the first idea that was proposed, and then after the discussion, people will vote on that one, right? And you get one vote. So there are only four, there are four choices, so you can select which one of those four your vote is going to go. And is that how it was discussed?
It's not so much that was discussed. It's that you're only moving forward one. So you have to be able to be in agreement on that level of if there was only one option, which one would you advance? So the initial thinking was these two items were already on your list. And so that means you had already vetted them to move them forward. But if they're are more ideas that come forward, it's just more of, you know, do you feel ready enough to make that decision in the next meeting already compared to the ones that you've already decided on?
Is that better? Do you feel like this? I think that council member explained the sense of like, this is an idea that is presented as a commission idea, right? So maybe not everybody is going to say, okay, well, this was my idea and I really am behind it. But I feel that that's the whole point of a commission, that if you're presenting it to your fellow commissioners, you are saying, this is so important for me that I want to share with you why it's important for the commission or for the city. So that level of conversation, I think, happened in the previous two. And that's why we want to have that level discussion next meeting, because that's exactly how we voted for the other two. I think there was a presentation. There was a, well, I did my my response to the proposal. But then there was a conversation among all of you, and then there was a vote, and out of the four that were presented, two passed. Two received a majority vote. In this case, will be, I mean, we could do that, kind of like what we did with the other one, but it's only one idea that is going to be moving forward. So to kind of like, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna, with that in mind, since it sounds like there have been presentations throughout the year that kind of culminated in these ideas coming and we voted on them last time, would it be better to table the two new ideas for next year and maybe come up with a presentation of some sort? So it'll give the commission time to kind of marinate on these ideas and collect more data.
So the only thing is that there is not going to be a presentation. I mean, you could do a presentation as a commissioner, yes. I won't be presenting anything and maybe answering questions in the sense that if there is something that is already happening in the city and we don't want to duplicate efforts or it can align better with another commission or proposal initiative, that's the extent that I will be participating at the initial part. As a person new to this process, I will say that because this is so new, I will say for next meeting, because I think the ideas, they're good ideas, I think, that, but that's not here nor there, that's not relevant, but in the spirit of this being a new process and being in a very gray area, I think that if we want to have that conversation in December, we could. And if we want to use the same kind of discussion of how we voted for the previous ones, maybe let's do this. I will ask for clarification from the city clerk, and then I'll come back to you and I say, hey, yes, we can do what we did before, or no, we're just going to go down the list and we're going to go into like, you have one vote, choose wisely, and this is the one that you're going to be voting for. Sounds good? Yeah, go ahead.
I just got a follow-up question regarding the discussion. If we're planning to bring up an idea for next year's list, mm-hmm. will the best place to make this presentation on our standpoint be on the non-agenda items and comments section of our meetings?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. Just want to clarify that.
No?
So let me pull up the work plan again, because that is on the work plan.
But it can be discussed between July and November. I mean, okay, let's look at that schedule again.
So here's the schedule, but in the work plan, we have that in November, we are discussing that one idea. So it's my understanding that from the time throughout the year, you can gather your ideas. And if you wanted to do a presentation or, you know, very detailed, that's totally up to you. But in November, we would ask, do you have any ideas? And if you guys say yes, then we will agendize this discussion to happen in November. But it would be up to you to keep track of your own ideas. We are no longer doing lists. That is where we... the study came from No More List, and I think a little bit more context for our new commissioners, right? The ranking, this happened in January. That's when that whole process for the the rank voting, that's when we would do that. But we're, since we're no longer doing the study issue process, then there's therefore no more ranking, if that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you. I was thinking more that people could suggest it during open comment. But I think the whole point is to agendize the presentation, the idea. So yes, we definitely need to agendize it so it will not be part of that. It will be part of the agenda.
Right. Thank you so much for the clarification.
Does anyone else have an idea? I have one. Maybe it could be a crazy one. But I was thinking, because I know in San Francisco they do this. I know that over there, people who are not citizens, they can vote for the trustees for the school board. So I was wondering if we can, you know, like kind of like study, we can do that here.
So I know that in the past, San Jose has looked at voting for residents voting. So that could be the idea added to the list, non-list. Okay, so it's going to be a long meeting in December, FYI.
I also just want to show the work plan one more time.
This is for next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think. Right. So it's one priority. Yes.
Yes. But we'll ask in October, right? We'll ask if you guys have any ideas. And if you say yes, then in November, then we would put that, if requested, right? We would put that on the agenda for November.
But so I think that is another question that we might want to ask the city clerk, because from this discussion, they can't, if they want, if they come up with an idea in May, right? If we want to agendize it in June, they can do a presentation. No, it's not that they're going to be voting, but there is a discussion that happens prior to.
I would suggest that the discussion of all the items happen at one time so that you don't forget all the details from that one idea that happened in May, and then now it's November and it's a little bit harder to retain that proposed idea in May.
Okay. So I agree, but I will definitely check how's that process going to work if you have ideas throughout the year. Okay.
Can I ask a question just before we vote on it? Just to reiterate, would it be, now that we have five ideas, more efficient to withdraw any that might need a little bit more research and maybe would be better pushed for another year?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So then I'd like to go ahead and withdraw mine from this next discussion for two agendas, possibly for next year.
Okay. So we only have the two that were originally Commissioner Camacho, Commissioner Zapata, and no? Oh, okay. We'll double check. Yeah. So we have four. Can we state, Chair, can you state, help us state, what are the four, the two ideas that we have? Is that what you want to know?
No.
If we are not taking action today on these ideas, then I would suggest that it would be best to discuss all your ideas next month.
Also, so to just present back exactly what you said today. And then we vote in December.
If those are the four ideas, I would suggest, you know, to be more effective with time, if those are the only four ideas, maybe to consider taking action today. But if you feel like you will have more ideas in December, that's up to you.
Do you think that we're going to have more ideas next month? Do you feel that we can, you know, like vote today? Is what I'm thinking that we have to do. And we have to choose three, right? One. Or just one. Oh.
One. Just one.
Are you ready to vote in just one?
It's up to you, really.
So if we're including the two that were just added today. Right. My question was, do those commissioners that brought that forward want to take any time to provide additional information,
yes,
statistics, financial information, how it'll affect the city?
Yeah. Like, I would like to do my, you know, research about the idea that I propose, if is that okay with everyone.
Okay. So then Commissioner Camacho.
Yes, ya hay antecedentes, puedo consultarlos. Además, hubieron resultados, siempre los hay, entonces sí, yo sí continúo con mi propuesta.
So, do we agendize these ideas for next meeting and then we vote next meeting? Or we vote now? No, right? Okay. Do we have to, you know, like make a motion or something? Or just, you know?
No, let's just bring the ideas. Okay. I mean, we already decided that two more ideas are going to be added. We're not going to add it to what we had before because that was part of like the study issues. But because we discuss what this new process looks like today, list, and we have the direction from the city manager that we can still make a vote in December, we're going to say, okay, now we understand what we're supposed to do in December. We are going to do a vote. So for those that presented these two new ideas, just bring them back. And we just, and you will have time to kind of like defend them, present them, convince your other colleagues to vote for them. And in the meantime, we'll get clarity or clarification on the voting process. But yeah.
Okay, so we move.
So that concludes my presentation.
Okay. Like, I guess we don't have any question, but I'm going to ask. Do we have any question? Like anyone? Yeah.
I just wanted to add that the first one that was previously submitted was from previous Commissioner Rosenfeld, who is no longer on the commission.
Okay. So I will go ahead and open the public hearing on this specific item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer. Raise your digital hand now or dial 9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Recording officer, do we have any in-person participants wishing to speak on this item?
No, Chair, we do not.
Recording officer, do we have any remote participant wishing to speak on this item?
No, Chair, we do not.
I will close the public hearing. I will not, okay. So now I will ask a discussion or a motion from my colleagues. No? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. This next portion of the agenda is for oral reports and announcements by the commissioners and staff to share information. Do the commissioners have any non-agenda item or comments? Anyone? Nope. One, two, three. Ready? Okay. Okay. Does the staff have any non-agenda items or comments?
Not at this moment. Thanks.
Okay.
I do. Sorry. Just that next meeting on Tuesday at 5:30, we'll be having the joint meeting with the chair and vice chair to analyze and review the overall effectiveness of commission meetings. And then we'll also be making an appointment to fill the vacancy for the HRC.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? One, two, and three. Okay. The meeting is adjourned at 9:03, and I want to thank everyone for your participation in tonight's meeting. Have a good night.
Thank you.